Happy New Year, people. It's Tuesday. It's January 6th. I'm still here. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard. Good morning. Gentlemen, what's up?
Good morning.
What'd you think of those games over the weekend?
Boring.
Three of them stunk. Yeah. One of them was really good.
Well, I actually thought the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game was good. Didn't end up being that close. It was a good game. The other ones, like, Dallas was great.
Dallas was great.
Yeah,
the
that
two
was the
early
great
ones
game.
Were kind of lame.
You knew what was going to happen going in, and that's exactly what
I
happened.
I knew.
Yeah, you were perfect.
Everybody picked Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, I changed my pick when AJ Green went down.
Good for you. Did you?
No, I wouldn't change picks.
You should.
Hey, you should look into that.
They need
when,
AJ Green.
When a star wide receiver ends up not playing.
Yeah, but when people are betting during the week, it's they'll know what to do. So.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have a perfect bracket.
Yeah, I'm 3-1.
Everybody's like,
you.
Congrats on Baltimore. Let's let them win one more game before.
That's your big one.
Yeah.
That's your big prediction.
Baltimore over the Patriots. Right. I feel pretty decent about it right now, actually.
They're playing great. They're playing great on both sides of the ball.
Well, they had one great game. They weren't playing great coming into this
but
game.
But this is the playoff Flacco.
I think they've recognized that they have to chuck it deep a little bit more.
That's
what we've been seeing the last six quarters
game.
From them.
Looking forward to that. So we'll do FanDuel stuff today, talk about playoff challenge lineups. Just go over some of our thoughts from the weekend. We have some news and notes, and email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Good time to send us your emails. We are not getting too many these days, so we'll get them read on the podcast, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And here we go. Rolando McClain dealing with a concussion.
Wait, you're still here?
I'm still here. I might even do another one next week from down here. I just don't know. Aaron Rodgers has a calf injury.
What is it that you don't know exactly?
My schedule's kind of up in the air right
all right,
now.
It's okay, Brett Favre. Just keep going.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers has a calf injury, but apparently he has a hip in his hop, according to Mike McCarthy, which is what I was waiting to hear before I put my faith in him.
Mm.
So you guys think he'll be Aaron Rodgers?
He said he had a hip in his hop?
That was the update we have. Let me read it. Yeah, it's pretty new on the site.
A hop in a step?
He said a hip in his hop. Talk about Aaron Rodgers.
He'll be fine.
He'll be, yeah. I'm mesmerized by what Mike McCarthy allegedly said.
Packers coach Mike McCarthy is expressing no concern about quarterback Aaron Rodgers' calf injury, reports the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rodgers is progressing and has a, quote, hip in his hop, end quote, the coach said. So that's
that
good.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't. Indianapolis sticking with Dan Heron despite his two fumbles against the Bengals. He lost one of them. That gives him three lost fumbles this season. He looked very good, and they didn't even play Trent Richardson. He was sick.
By sick, you mean suck?
Yeah. What do you think the Indianapolis running game looks like next year?
There's somebody new.
Somebody who isn't on the team who joins the team. Maybe they draft Melvin Gordon in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think they're spending a first-round pick on a running back again.
Yeah.
They went that route once.
They might learn their lesson. And Kansas City could cut Dwayne Bowe. They should cut Dwayne Bowe.
Sounds like a Raider to me.
Does anybody have anything else to share with the group, news and notes-wise?
He could be a Steeler.
What, reunite with Todd Haley?
Yeah.
Did that work out well?
No. Well, when was his best year?
It might have been, that 15-touchdown year.
Was that Romeo? Or was that Haley?
They all... Together.
Might have been Romeo.
The Dwayne Bowe era. Ryan Lindley era is over.
No way.
I don't think he plays again. What do you think? Where do you think Larry Fitzgerald is next year?
Oakland.
And if you were a team...
Everybody goes to Oakland.
Well, you've heard what players have said. That they say that that's where they go to get
I'm curious. You know, the report out of Arizona is that he's not going to take a pay cut because he wants to force his way out. And he doesn't like his role being forced inside. I wonder if he still could do anything if he's considered like a number one guy. Now, he's not going to ever get back to what he was. But I wonder if he's running different routes with a consistent quarterback situation. I mean, think about what this guy has gone through since Kurt Warner went down.
Yeah.
He's gone through a mess. You know, he's had...
Yeah, just whenever Carson Palmer's been in there...
He's showed flashes.
Yeah, flashes.
So I wonder if...
He needs a quarterback. A lot of receivers do.
Sure. But also role. Because with Carson Palmer, he was still playing a lot in the slot.
Patriots.
He shouldn't care what his role is. As long as he's on the field, he should be a happy
No, player. No, no. I don't think he... I think he cares what his role is, but I don't think he's going to ever make a
1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns again.
I don't think he's going to be like a problem about it. Like, I don't think he's going to force his way out. Like, the situation is going to force him out. You know, I don't think he's looking at it as, I need to make a compromise because I made compromises. Mm-hmm. So here's what my contract is, either pay me or don't. And if mm-hmm. you don't want to pay me, I'll go somewhere else where I can have a better situation.
Well, from watching him this year, did you think Larry Fitzgerald had a hip in his hop? Or did you think...
Man, you've been sitting on that one for how long?
I don't know, pretty much the beginning of the Fitzgerald conversation.
He had a step in his skip.
Okay. That works.
Is that good?
Too.
Does that get you out of your awkwardness and put it on me?
Hey, Cam Newton. 22 fantasy points or more in 4 of his last 5 regular season games, and he had 18 fantasy points against Arizona, but played pretty well, I thought.
I don't think he played very well. He just managed to put together a good enough stat line.
One interception was not his fault.
Yeah, but also one of the touchdowns really wasn't his fault. Or
what,
his doing.
Fozzie?
Yeah, the Fozzie play.
Yeah, but
little
that
screen pass, and he hip-hopped his way to the end zone.
Where are you taking Jonathan Stewart next year? 123 yards and a touchdown.
Please
on 24 carries.
D'Angelo Williams and Mike Tolbert for your franchise.
Well, I mean, it was encouraging that D'Angelo was healthy and they barely played him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gave him some touches.
Yeah,
at
but
the
that's
end.
That's finally realizing your mistakes.
Yeah,
but
you don't have to cut him.
No, you have to cut him.
But
what's his
just
cap hit?
Don't play
that's
him.
The thing. It's what's like the, it's, what's the dead money when he's cut? It was the dumbest decision I think I've seen from a franchise in a long time. One of the dumber decisions by a franchise in a long time. So, is signing all three of those guys to what they paid them.
He he's not owed a lot. He's got an option bonus due in March. He'll be cut in March. He's got voidable years at the end of his deal. Technically, he's under contract for 3 more seasons. I think they can get rid of him.
If there was a clear-cut 1 and 2, you know, 1, 60, 70% touch guy, you know, but Stewart and Whitaker. Let's just say that was the route they would go. I think Stewart would be a top 24 fantasy running back next year.
Mm-hmm. Because he's got that potential.
Yeah, it's always been
health
with him.
Big role. I mean, that's going to be the thing you look for now with running backs. It's always been the guys with 20 touch potential and goal line work. But those are the first round guys. And then after that, you're looking at running backs who just have a chance to get to that next level. And I guess Stewart is in that mix. I'm always worried about injuries with him. But I think Carolina has a very good year next year. Just the fact that they made the playoffs like they did this year and they finished hot, proof that that defense really wasn't dead all along. They're going to add a bunch of draft picks. Maybe they make another splash in free agency. I think Carolina can win that division 3 years straight. And in fact, I would bet on it right now.
Could they win this weekend?
No.
Yes. I think they could, but I don't think they will.
Stewart's going to be 28 years old next year, so it's not like he's over the hill.
No, he's right in his prime.
Can he have a breakout year and be a fantasy
star? It's always been health with him. I mean, you think about whenever he's gotten to work, he's been great.
Tolbert's entering a contract year at $2.4 million. Tolbert is owed more money, I guess, in base salary than D'Angelo is.
My goodness,
so
I didn't realize.
He might not. Maybe he gets cut, too.
Jonathan Stewart scored 10 touchdowns in each of his first 2
seasons. Yeah.
When he was healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he averaged 4.5 yards, 5.1 yards, 4.3, and 5.4 in his first 4 seasons. He only missed 2 games, and then the injuries started kicking.
I don't know if people are going to have a hard time taking him by the round 5-ish. You think he'll be
won't last
that
long? I mean, it depends on the situation.
It depends on the situation.
D'Angelo's gone.
Well, but D'Angelo can be gone, and they can still add another rookie.
Yeah.
This team has never been shy about adding running backs.
Who are you going to like better next year, Lamar Miller or Jonathan Stewart?
Miller.
I think it depends on what Miller's situation is. If you're telling me it is the same situation right now, no Sean, no D'Angelo, I'll take Stewart because of his division.
I'll take Miller because I think the coaches finally woke up to what he can do. That entire coaching staff is staying one more year, and the Dolphins can probably get by addressing other positions than running back. I would be surprised if they added another running back to take work away from Miller. Maybe a guy to supplement him. But like this year, they added Noshon. To me, that stunk. If they add somebody of that type of caliber, then I'll go with Jonathan Stewart. Until then, I'm a Lamar Miller guy.
Other playoff observations. How about this? Kelvin Benjamin is kind of crappy.
Yeah,
he can't catch. His hands are terrible.
Can't catch.
He has really taken the express lane to poop town over the last 5 weeks or so. Since the bye. Since the bye, he's been dreadful.
Yeah, well,
no, he's dreadful with Cam.
A lot of these rookie receivers seem to be hitting a wall.
They all do eventually.
Yeah. Beckham didn't, but he missed four games. Right. So he's fresher.
He got,
I guess,
started later.
But Watkins, Evans, and Benjamin really struggled. I don't know if I'm forgetting. Martavis Bryant kind of disappeared. I know he had a good playoff game.
Right. Long season. I mean, you know, that
they're not used to it.
Right. So, what do you guys think about Kelvin next year?
I like him a lot.
I think he's a good number two. You know, he'll be in that
very good number
15
two.
To 20 range.
Anything else stand out to you from you know, because Martavis Bryant, we haven't really talked about him. You know, a lot of the first year receivers had good years, and maybe we expect
he's another one
studs.
That didn't get started early. He missed the first five games.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Ben had the, you know, his first game was the Houston game.
Yeah.
And then that was when Ben took off from
so
that point forward.
What do you think of him next year, Martavis Bryant?
He's a boomer bust receiver for me. I don't think he's going to develop consistency just based on the role in that offense and what they're going to ask him to do. I don't think it's going to change very much.
I'm a little more optimistic. I think, you know, as he learns to develop some his routes, this is still going to be a team that throws a lot. Look, Roethlisberger likes a big receiver. I mean, think about his career. He's always, you know, when they got rid of Plax, he was very upset about that. You saw the touchdown in the playoffs. He likes that type of guy. They've always tried to. What was the guy 2 years ago? They had a rookie that was like really it was 6 foot five.
Lima Sweet.
Yeah, no. He didn't play very much. It was he caught one. I remember he had like his first game. He caught a 1 yard touchdown. I'm blanking on it. Anyway, he was just a tall guy, and I remember reading the stories right afterwards. Roethlisberger, yeah, this is my type of guy. You know, somebody I could just put the ball in the air and let him go get it. And so I think with Bryant, he's got what Swede was supposed to be, which is a guy that could stretch the field. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be good. He's going to be one of those high end number three receivers for me.
He's going to be to me one of those guys you never know when to start him though.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
So I hate those guys. In fantasy, I think he's probably a nice guy. I don't hate him.
He's very skinny. Very skinny in person. Very lean.
How about this statement? Matthew Stafford is the new Tony Romo. Not from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
From
a, can't run a big game?
Well, I mean, I don't know if Tony Romo, he's the old Tony
he's
Romo.
He's the old Tony Romo. Right,
because
right.
Tony Romo now is doing some good stuff.
What is the 0-17? You see this?
Yeah.
0-17 on the road against teams
500 or better teams.
500. That's unbelievably bad. Most overrated player in football.
I don't know if you can't. Can you really put that all on him? Listen, he definitely
he had
has
two,
earned
look
it.
Look at that last drive.
Oh yeah. He had some chances. Oh,
I didn't know what you meant by.
I'm just saying overall, like the 0-17. The 0-17. It's not because he threw a fourth quarter interception in all 17 of those games. There are other factors in some of those games. Some of them definitely are on
it's
him.
It's a pretty telling stat, though. But that last drive.
He's also taken on some teams on the road without Calvin.
Didn't
and
throw
we
the
know
ball.
That we know he's not the same
oh,
guy
yeah.
without him.
Not even close.
Which definitely takes him down a notch.
Didn't throw the ball downfield once, I don't think, on that last drive. It was all underneath stuff.
Yeah, they were playing to not lose.
And fumbled twice.
Mm-hmm.
Lost two fumbles on this damn drive.
Yeah, the delivery tends to be a problem, too. You know, when his arm angle's going to different things. You know he's not playing at the right level that he should be playing at. I'm trying to think, though, like where he stacks up fantasy-wise next year.
Do you guys think Calvin Johnson's been less than 100% since coming back from the ankle?
Probably.
He just doesn't look like the same guy.
I projected his numbers over from when he came back to the end of the season.
Yeah.
If you do that, I don't know what it is off the top of my head. If you project that over 16 games, he would have had another 200-plus point fantasy season. He would have been back in the top five for fantasy receivers. So he's not far off from where he needs to be. But, yes, he was up and down. I mean, he had a couple 20-point games in there.
Yeah, his last five games were 26, 21, 5, 10, 15.
Right. So I think he's got one or two more great seasons left. If he could stay healthy, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's
but
a really good option.
I almost feel like this is what we do with Matthew Stafford. This is where we were 2 years ago, and it was, oh my gosh, he's terrible. He's not going to be a good guy, not a great quarterback. And then all of a sudden he comes out and he has this monster season, and then we hype him up, and he does this.
Right, how about anything else, guys?
How about road games next year at Seattle, at St. Louis, at Kansas City, and then also New Orleans and San Diego for Detroit.
Any other playoff thoughts?
maybe put the bus label on Calvin Johnson next year. Any other playoff thoughts? Andy Dalton isn't very good. With or without A.J. Green. You could almost say the same thing about A.J. Green as you can Calvin Johnson. He really had a year where injuries took a lot out of him. And I think you expected more from A.J. Green over the course of the season, and he didn't really deliver. So I wonder how people will view him going into next year and whether or not he's still an elite guy. Jeremy Hill is someone that I think deserves some top 15 overall type consideration at this point. He's just playing great right now, and they really have something wonderful going between him and Gio. But
yeah,
that's a team that will give Jeremy Hill a lot of work, especially when they have the lead.
If Hugh Jackson's still there.
I don't see him getting a head coaching job.
I don't either, but
I would be stunned.
Never know.
But, yeah, I mean, I said the same Buffalo, thing about Jay Gruden. And
Buffalo and Oakland are going to settle on somebody that, you know.
It's a bad year to need a coach. It's a very bad year. There's only a couple that I think are actually interesting.
And,
like, I'm surprised Rex Ryan isn't hired yet.
You were talking about Jeremy Hill.
Talked about the Bengals.
Indianapolis run defense. Not too bad.
After that, after the first quarter, yeah.
Yeah.
They stepped up.
So. So ha, huh. Take that. And well,
Let's see them do that to C.J. Anderson.
Well, you know, Anderson could have 22 carries for 75 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's why I'm starting him in FanDuel.
Yeah.
So ha. Huh.
Speaking of FanDuel, have you guys made your lineups yet?
No. I have.
Yeah, I did one as well. Dave, what'd you do?
Well, I set a lineup in FanDuel.
Oh, great.
There was a point during the playoff games where I was ranked very, very high, and I was very excited. And then the Dallas-Detroit game started, and all the players that I had in that game ended up not doing very well. And it made me sad, and I shed a tear, and I had no money, so I lost the fantasy.
I was mad at Kobe Fleener last week.
The who?
Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
I'm rolling with him this week, though.
The winning team, I think, had, if I remember correctly, it was... Was it Romo?
From last week?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I don't think they had Romo.
I know it had Dan Heron.
Yep.
Heron.
It definitely had Terrence Williams.
Yes.
Okay. The winning team from FanDuel.
Was it Williams and Bryant?
Roethlisberger at quarterback. DeMarco and Dan Heron at running back. Brown, Antonio Brown, Golden Tate, Terrence Williams at wide receiver.
No, Tate and Williams, that was it.
Terrence Williams is what really put him over the hump. Heath Miller at tight end. Adam Vinatieri, 16 fantasy points in FanDuel. And the Panthers D.
Well, I think this is a bad week for some, potentially bad week for some running backs.
Yeah.
Like Lynch, Stewart, maybe C.J. Anderson if you're buying in at all to the Colts defense. Justin Forsett, who I'm starting but not feeling good about that at all. Patriots run.
Yeah, I don't
really
like that.
Good.
I wouldn't use him.
In FanDuel or in the challenge?
FanDuel.
So if you don't feel good about it, why are you doing it?
Right.
He's one of my cheapest guys. You know, because I went with Rodgers. So
me too.
The thing is, there's a big gap between Forsett and the guys above him. You know, it's not like a few hundred bucks to get C.J. Anderson. It's like,
well, that's, you know, that's the challenge
between
of the playoff
Lacy
lineups.
And Forsett. You're talking $1,800.
Yeah, it's $1,600. Forsett's at 68, and Lacy's at 84. So there's nobody at running back in the 7,000 range.
Right. So
it's a pretty steep drop off.
And I don't want Marshawn Lynch, and I don't really want DeMarco Murray. I feel
Why wouldn't you go Lynch?
Because it's Carolina, and they've been playing
well. They're
I feel like he's a different guy at home.
At home, yeah, he's so different.
Well, I love Lacy. I think, I mean, it was either Lynch or Lacy. So. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lacy. If you feel that way about the running backs, then go with the cheapest one there, and that's either Lacy or C.J. Anderson.
I did take Lacy.
I took Anderson.
Yeah.
I spent the extra $300.
But then after that, you drop down into another tier. And
I'm throwing a dart.
Yeah. You either have to go with two running backs or hope that Justin Forsett or who's another guy? Maybe, I don't know, Bernard Pierce scores or something like that. You just have
I took Shane Vereen.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
I thought the value was good. He has been a dud, but I think...
What's LeGarrette at?
LeGarrette is at 5,700. So for 500 less, you
that's
can
actually
Vereen.
Pretty good, because he could score.
He could potentially score,
but
could catch
can't
a bunch
like
of passes.
The matchup against the Ravens.
No, I like it for him, because if he catches four or five passes, he's not running
Vereen?
Into the teeth. Yeah.
I'm talking
for,
about Blunt.
Oh, yeah, for Blunt, forget it. Maybe he scores, but he might get a touchdown in 20 yards.
If I could drop down from Forsett to Blunt and move up from Daniels to Gronk, I'll do it, but I don't think I can. But we'll have to investigate. All right, so Dave, I'm sorry. Give me your lineup.
Spent $9,700 on Aaron Rodgers just because I think he's a slam dunk. C.J. Anderson and Shane Vereen are running back. Paired Rodgers with Jordy. I originally had him paired with Richard Rodgers, but I got rid of that. So Jordy at wide receiver. Julian Edelman is my second receiver. Cole Beasley, figuring Dallas is going to play a lot. He's my third guy, and I like the value of 5,300. Might end up catching, you know, five passes, 70 yards. Maybe he scores. Fleener is my tight end. Justin Tucker is my kicker. And I settled on the Ravens D as my defense because I know that Adam thinks that Baltimore will win.
Who's your quarterback? Sorry.
Aaron Rodgers. We have
very similar teams.
You're getting a lot of that, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. I have Rodgers.
Yeah, you really need to hit on the Terrence guys. Williams yep. guys. That's the type of thing that will set your team apart.
I've got
that, and I feel like getting lucky at kicker is a huge factor, too.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that Green Bay is going to kind of run away with it. I know.
I think they do it in the fourth quarter.
Dallas is playing really well.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they have a dud in them coming up.
I mean, they come out of the gate like they did last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Rodgers won't let up on them like Stafford did. That's the thing that scares me from sticking
McCarthy
with the
Cowboys.
McCarthy
won't let up on them then.
Like, Rodgers doesn't make the mistakes that Stafford does.
No.
I don't know.
So you have Jordy and Edelman. I have Cobb and LaFell. But I have Rodgers,
yeah, I don't
Lacy,
like Cobb at home.
Forsett, Cobb. You know what? I'm just thinking maybe you saw what Golden Tate did, and they did a pretty good job on Calvin. Maybe it's a better matchup for Cobb than it is for Jordy. LaFell, somebody's going to have to do something against that Ravens secondary. Beasley, Owen Daniels, Justin Tucker, and Baltimore. So it looks like I have a lot of Ravens and Packers.
I did think about swapping out Edelman for LaFell. That would free up some money for me, and then I could move up and get the Seattle D.
Oh, yeah, that could work too.
Or it might not. LaFell might get, you know, 3 for 30, and Edelman has a big game.
I know you're... Are you both writing something for FanDuel this week?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so both of you will have some written content on the website. To help people out with FanDuel, I finished... I did a small $2 tournament with 46,000 people. I finished 9,469th. Just missed some money.
That stinks.
So, but you know, it was a pretty good week. If I had done a 50-50, I obviously would have won that. Playoff challenge. I am happy to say I do not have to make any changes in the playoff challenge.
Nice.
How about you guys?
4.
What? Oh, Steelers?
Steelers. Mm.
I've got one spot to replace.
But you didn't play anybody. Or you didn't play the full team.
Right, I didn't. I actually had two players that were on a bye
right.
in the first round of the playoffs, so my score is real low. And I'm kind of toying with the idea of not replacing. Reggie Bush is who I lost. I'm toying with the idea of not replacing him because I only have 27 points to spend, and the best player at running back that I could get at 27 points, Robert Turbin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or so Joseph Randall or Ronnie
sense.
Hillman or Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, you're right. You shouldn't do it.
I don't think I am. I'm going to save the transaction.
I don't think Bush is going to do that well this week. But.
Yeah, I think he's going to deliver a big fat zero. But the rest of my team is fine. I loaded up on Cowboys.
Well, then let me just ask you guys,
them.
Generally speaking, who's going to win this week and who's going to have a big game?
I think the home teams.
I always feel like you've got to pick an upset, though. Like there's always a surprise in the second round.
All right, let's rate the visitors. Most likely to pull off an upset.
There was one upset this weekend?
There was one road team that won. It was Baltimore, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh.
Most likely to win on the road to least likely to win on the road. Go.
To me, least likely is Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. But I asked for most likely. So you
I'm
took
telling
a shortcut.
You the least likely.
Most likely to...
Let's build
most
up
likely
to the most
to win
likely.
On the road. All
right, fine. So you want to start from least likely?
I think Carolina is the least likely team to win this week.
Yes.
They have had trouble against Seattle in Carolina. And now they're playing in
that.
Seattle. I just think that they're going to run out of steam. It might be a low-scoring game, but I don't see Carolina going in there and finding points.
Second least likely.
Indy.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. Even though, like I said, I think Dallas might get crushed, but obviously it could be. It's kind of a bold prediction. I don't think Indy has a chance. I know Manning, I'm hoping that this bye week heals him and he's better.
He's also faced this team once, so.
And it's a revenge game.
I'm going to say...
He's already had the revenge.
I'm going to say Baltimore is second least likely. But it's not to slight your pick at all.
Uh-huh.
It's like saying that the absolute least likely is down in the ditch, and the second least is, you know, it's up there a little bit. It still has a chance of happening.
I kind
of
wish
Baltimore... It just has to be the second least likely of the teams that are playing.
I kind of wish Baltimore were playing the Patriots in the championship, the conference championship game, because I just, it's so hard to picture the Patriots going without winning a game
right
in the postseason.
The Ravens do a good job against Gronk. That's been very typical of how they play. Their run defense is very good. I think New England could really attack that secondary. It really is going to come down to how well they protect Tom Brady. If they can't protect Brady like they struggled
for
the end
plays,
of the season,
then they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously helps.
I don't know if they're fine because again, like the Ravens, Suggs is a big time player.
Yeah.
You know, he could have a huge game.
You could argue the Ravens have the best pass rush left in all of the playoffs.
Broncos?
Broncos would be up there. I think the Packers might be up there.
I think it depends on opponent.
Maybe. But I'm just talking about just like writing them down on a piece of paper and comparing them all.
And ultimately,
it's a close call between a couple of them.
But I just don't think the Cowboys can do it because I just don't think they're going to be able to
get
to the
Rodgers, yeah.
All right, so we say Carolina.
Yeah, maybe the Cowboys should be second least instead of third least. I feel
really
the same
good,
way you
though.
Do. Like Dallas is really good, and it just feels like momentum.
If
is
they
totally...
control time of possession, though, they're going to be very hard to for Green Bay to run away with it. I mean,
yeah. I agree.
Okay,
but it's almost
Carolina,
a tie between them, which to me
likely.
Makes Indianapolis the most likely. Because
really?
I just think that Peyton is not
I would
the
say
same guy.
To me, Baltimore's most likely too.
I agree. Peyton's not the same guy.
I would put. I'm changing my.
I just don't
my
think Indianapolis
order.
has it in them to win this game. They don't have.
They've
a good
got Andrew
running
Luck.
Game.
I think that helps them. And they could use screens.
They're not a good road team. They're not that good.
They're really not, other than Andrew Luck. But
yeah.
Andrew Luck's really.
If you were to switch quarterbacks from the two teams that played each other in Indianapolis, Cincinnati would have blasted them by 30 points.
Like Luck on the Bengals would have beaten the Colts.
Oh yeah, Luck on the Bengals would have destroyed.
Luck played great, and that. One touchdown throw he made was amazing. But what do you guys think about Hilton this week? You think he could have a big game?
Nah.
He got shut
I'm
down by
about.
Tlaib the last time, and that was the same situation.
And at now Tlaib isn't even their best corner.
Right.
Now it's Chris Harris.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
I'll say Indy, Baltimore, Dallas, big space, Carolina, from most to least.
Yeah, I go...
Most likely to pull off the upset.
But I don't know if I have the guts to call Indy or Baltimore.
Baltimore, Dallas, Indy, Carolina.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd do. Or I'd switch Indy in Dallas. But the first four, the bookends, I would take those. All right, emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. From Peyton.
Manning?
Where's he from?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Dear Ike, David, and Odell.
Beckhams.
Who's Ike Beckham?
How do you not know who Ike Beckham is?
You don't know.
I have no clue.
I went 3 for 3 in my leagues this year, and I'm only 10 years old. I'm in a 10-team, 2-quarterback, PPR, IDP, keeper league.
Holy cow.
Let me say something here. As
this
I
is
read
a 10-year-old in this
there's
league?
There's no way this is a 10-year-old. This is his father, brother, mother, whatever, writing this email. This is a very well-crafted email. And this is either... like the most special prodigy that we've ever
We'd
had.
Like to hire him.
Yeah. Or probably a good 10-year-old who plays, but
could
I
be,
think
could
someone
be,
else
could
is
be a leap
ghost,
year baby.
Ghostwriting.
Could be a leap year baby.
Which makes him what, like
40?
40. Oh, like he's not born on the 29th. I gotcha.
Yeah, very good.
12?
Well, I'm saying there's been 2 leap years in 10 years, so I don't know. All right, anyway. 10 team, 2 quarterback.
His math will get better in New York.
PPR, IDP, keeper league. You can keep 2 players. You can't keep a first to third round pick.
Your brain just hop-hipped all the way to New York.
Jordy Nelson in the 5th. DeAndre Hopkins in the 16th. Golden Tate in the 6th. Gio Bernard in the 7th. Reuben Randall in the 10th. I can keep them for 2 years.
Well, Jordy's an easy one.
And I think DeAndre's an easy one.
Yeah.
And P.S. Tell Adam that he should shave his chest hair. You're only 10 years old, Peyton. Just wait. I didn't have a single piece of chest hair.
You didn't have any follicles growing?
In college?
In college?
When I was a freshman, not a hair. I don't know what
you
happened.
Must have smoked a lot of cigars in college.
No.
Wow.
You know that's not what happened. Mr. Dooley from Rochester.
That's weird. In college, my hair started falling out.
Fell into a chia pet pool?
Yeah, I guess so. I grew up, became a man.
Late bloomer.
Mr. Dooley from Rochester, New Hampshire. Dear 3-1 stooge, in a half-point PPR keeper league, should
By
I...
By the way, Sketcher Doodle's last work.
It was great.
It was the best. We've all retweeted it. Sketcher Doodle on Twitter made us three men and a little lady with Nando as Steve Gutenberg.
Nando's
you were
face
Tom
was,
Selleck,
was
right?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Jamie? Dave, you were
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson, and I was.
I consider that a compliment.
And the funny thing is,
the only one's not really is Nando.
What do you mean?
To be Steve Gutenberg, that's the worst.
Why?
One.
He's a good natured.
I like Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah, but that's always the worst one.
What do you mean? That's always no one wants to be Steve Gutenberg. No. You're saying?
I mean, well, you don't associate them with that. You associate Ted Danson with Sam Malone. You associate Tom Selleck with Magnum.
I associate
Steve Gutenberg with Police Academy.
Police Academy, of course.
Oh, right. But so what's wrong with that?
Nothing. But it's still the third worst. Who would you rather be? You'd rather be Sam Malone or what was his character in Police Academy?
Mahoney.
I'd rather be Mahoney.
I'd rather be Sam Malone, but I'd rather be Mahoney. I've never seen Magnum PI.
You're terrible.
You'd rather be Magnum.
You'd rather be Magnum. Trust me. Live in Hawaii with a Ferrari for free.
All right, fine. Yeah, but the funny thing is I'm not sure. I think you guys know this. I'm good friends with the little lady.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how good friends?
I hung out with her.
Is her name Allie?
Like how good friends?
Not that good friends. We're high school friends.
So
we're friends. We've been friends for a while. So I was her.
Like, would you share a milkshake with her?
No, I posted that picture on her Facebook wall, and she was like, "OMG, stop it!" All right, here's the question from Mr. Dooley.
Is she coming up in any threequels? Like three men and a friend of a werewolf? No,
not that I'm aware of. Half-point PPR keeper
league.
Does
she still keep in touch with them?
No.
Like, is she friends?
No.
With Gutenberg, even?
No.
No?
All right. Half-point PPR keeper league. Because if there were one that she was going to be friends with, it would be Gutenberg.
Well, of course.
I mean, Danson and Selleck would totally blow her
off. Yeah, no chance.
She wasn't 18.
Should I try to trade DeMarco Murray to the Le'Veon Bell owner now, or should I hold? Is there another running back with a lot of potential worth watching? I also will be adding Matthew Stafford to the trade to sweeten the deal. So would you trade DeMarco Murray and Matthew Stafford for Le'Veon Bell in a keeper league?
If you can get that for Le'Veon Bell, sure.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, I think Murray is going to be a guy we'll be hesitant to draft next year.
And here's Zach. Where's Zach from?
Bayside, California.
Okay. Zach wrote a scathing email, mostly directed at Jamie, which was a little unfair. I don't send emails often to the podcast shows I listen to because obviously I take everything said with a large grain of salt, knowing that no one really knows anything when it comes to fantasy football. However, after listening to last week's show, I felt compelled to write something. This will probably fall by the wayside and never be read, but I vehemently disagree with Jamie's assertion that taking stud wide receivers in the first rounds of a draft could not have worked this year. I went Calvin, Dez, Jordy, and Gronk with my first four picks of my draft this year in a 10-team league. If you know what you're doing, this strategy has worked for me for years. I backed up Calvin with Golden Tate. I drafted Jennings, Ellington, and Joyke as my top three running backs, and I was able to get Ahmad Bradshaw off waivers. The reason for drafting three top wide receivers at the beginning is not to be loaded at the position, but to trade later in the year. I flipped Dez and Bradshaw for Jamal Charles and Kelvin Benjamin. So he won. Jamal took me to the playoffs. Beckham and Calvin. Oh, and he got Beckham. Won me the championship. So...
I'm sorry, did he say he was in a four-team league?
No, he's a 10-team league.
Oh, 10-team league.
Response?
Well, he did a great job. I mean, you know, this is obviously what I was saying was based on the receivers that were picked early. We just talked about two of them earlier, Calvin and A.J. Green. I mean, think about how those two guys performed. Julio Jones was, you know, inconsistent. He got two very good guys with his second and third round picks, and then obviously getting Gronk in the fourth round is amazing. And the fact that he made a trade, look, when you trade, that changes the entire complexity of how these conversations go. So the fact that he was able to get Jamal Charles, he realized that he needed to upgrade that position, and he did.
I agreed with you, what you said last week.
It's also 10-team leagues are a little bit different than 12-team leagues, which is typically what we discuss. So, I mean, Zach did a great job, and I guess I probably shouldn't have made it a blanket statement that it could not have worked, you know, based on what he put in his single quotes, which it should be double quotes. So I'll correct you.
I would say that if he only had taken Calvin and Dez and didn't take Jordy in the third round, Might not have worked.
Well, in a 12-team league, you're not getting Jordy in the third round. You're definitely not getting Gronk in the fourth. I don't care.
Right.
You know, there are situations where that could have happened. you had one of those drafts yourself, right, where Gronk fell to you, or somebody fell to you.
Le'Veon fell to you. Second or third pick of the fourth round.
Right. So there are
that was a three-receiver league.
So. There are situations where guys fall.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, Zach did a good job of, you know, taking three stud receivers. Two of them hit big. And the one that didn't still played very well to close the year. So there are obviously situations where it could have worked. So I apologize for making it a blanket statement.
You don't have to apologize.
No, it's accurate.
I support you and what you said. Anything else, guys?
I do like that strategy, by the way.
Oh, I do too. I mean,
right,
taking
stud receivers relatively early, because then you're pretty sure you're not going to bench them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've talked about this for years, that when you draft these stud receivers early, you're expecting them to be consistent, and then you can load up on running backs and other positions later on in the draft. I think we're going to see a lot of people start doing that.
We went through this last week, where if you would have taken, you know, two running backs early, and then your top two receivers could have been easily Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Johnson, how would that have gone?
Yeah, that's, like I said, that was the group of players that burned me.
Sure.
10 through 20, roughly, at wide receiver. Would you guys like to contribute anything else before we end the fun?
No.
You want to talk about the Shumpert trade? That was tough news for me yesterday.
What happened?
The Knicks traded my favorite player.
Did they end up with Reggie Jackson or no?
Not that I know of, but I haven't read anything.
There was a basketball player named Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm.
That was the initial.
Lance Thomas they got from the Thunder.
That was the initial thought, which I thought would have been good for the Knicks.
Yeah, that would have been fine, but this is all a salary dump. But
have you seen how good the Bulls have been lately? Jimmy Butler's been awesome.
He's good.
Pau Gasol has been awesome.
They might win the East.
They should win the East. Cleveland's a disaster.
By the time the playoffs come around in 3 years, you know, that's how the NBA works. Basically, have another season left before the playoffs start. Cleveland will be fine.
They're not better than Chicago if Chicago's healthy.
They will be in the playoffs.
Blackhawks have been playing
They'll be better than Chicago in the playoffs if both teams are healthy.
Yeah.
Not without Varejao. They don't have the length.
I'm not watching wrestling anymore.
But they have LeBron. I don't even think they're better than the Raptors, but they have LeBron. They'd beat the Raptors.
They would beat the Raptors. I don't think they'll beat the Bulls.
My wife watched The Bachelor.
LeBron will guard Derrick Rose. It'll be just like the Heat.
Yeah, but like Dave just said, which is the most basketball analysis he's ever given that was accurate, which is that Jimmy Butler's playing well. And so they have another option to score where they don't have to rely on Rose to create. And their post play is amazing.
The building's on fire.
Play fantasy basketball. And listen to our fantasy hoops podcast.
I played my first pickup game of basketball in over a decade. This weekend.
How'd that go?
We're
out of time. Thanks a lot. No, just kidding. How'd that go?
How old were the children that you played against?
I don't want to talk about it. But it was me and my son against two 15-year-olds. And I was posting up against like a 100-pound 15-year-old kid. It was hilarious.
You had to have won.
We lost.
No, you didn't.
I'm letting my son shoot every play. Of course.
So you should get every rebound.
I got a lot of them, but they got more too. They were good. They were boys. They were not girls.
All right, guys.
It was a good workout, and my knees and elbows were killing me the next day.
Thanks a lot. Again, email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Do you know that Adam and I, how much money do we win from our two producers that day?
$20?
$5 each? No, it was
$10?
It was, lunch. Or was it lunch?
I think it was $10 each.
We hustled them. It was so easy.
Jamie and I won a 2-on-2 pickup basketball.
Yes,
game.
We were the two smaller
Who'd
guys.
Who'd you play?
Brodsky, Matt Brodsky and Mike Friedman.
Oh, yeah, I would have bet on you guys all
a couple of defensive tackles. We're out of here.
It was a pizza eating contest. You guys would have gotten killed.
Bye.
Bye.